From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 24th, 2018. And on this day, major Democratic donors in Maine and what they're trying to accomplish, and a UMaine professor suing to leave his union because of political differences. Those stories ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
A triumvirate of progressive megadonors is hoping to put more Democrats in power in state capitals across the country, including in Maine. One of those donors is Donald Sussman, a hedge fund manager and philanthropist who at one time owned the Portland Press Herald. Here now to follow the money is our State House Bureau Chief Steve Missler, who, for purposes of disclosure, used to work at the Press Herald. Steve, this group is trying to put more Democrats into governor's mansions and state legislatures, including ours. How much money have they put into this?
Well, the group is called State Victory Action, and it's a limited liability company registered in North Carolina. Now, typically LLCs can shield the identity of their donors, but this group has also registered as a special type of political organization with the IRS, and that's how we were able to identify some of the donors, which includes Sussman, a major influencer in Maine politics for several years, and one of the most prolific donors in the country. Those disclosures also show Hungarian-American investor George Soros and billionaire hedge fund manager Tom Steyer have contributed to the group. Now, you asked how much money this group has spent. What we know so far is that they have spent at least, or they have received at least, $12 million, and that number will likely climb higher as the election draws closer. Now, State Victory Action doesn't look like it's going to spend that money on its own, meaning it's not going to directly pay for ads and that sort of thing that we probably will see in the campaign. What they're doing, though, is they're directing their money to groups that are going to perform that function for them. And in this case, and in Maine's case, they've donated $500,000 to the union-backed group called Rebuild Maine. And it's likely that Rebuild Maine will do the bulk of the spending to influence the Maine election.
That's quite a lot of money for Maine politics.
It is. And I mean, Rebuild Maine has over $1 million in its coffers at this point. And not all of that is from this particular group.
So presumably this group will be trying to help Democrat Janet Mills and in the legislative races get more Democrats. What are they doing to influence those races?
Well, so far we haven't seen anything that the public would actually be able to observe. That said, the money could be used for a variety of purposes, including organizing, funding get-out-the-vote efforts, and knocking on doors and basically trying to convince people to vote for Democratic candidates. It could also be used to purchase television and radio ads that will soon be blanketing our airwaves, not to mention digital spaces. And those communications will be geared towards two goals. One is helping Janet Mills become the first woman elected governor of Maine, and also to make sure Democrats have control of the state legislature. And all of those contests are going to be critical in determining which laws are passed over the next 2 to 4 years.
As you've mentioned, this is part of a larger national effort, and there's a certain urgency that's linked to congressional redistricting, right?
Yeah, that's right. So State Victory Action's contribution to Rebuild Maine is very significant, but it's likely that the group will be spending heavily in other states, too. This is a new refocusing of resources for Democrats who have really seen their power at the state level diminish over the past decade. Now, during President Obama's 2 terms, Democrats lost 970 legislative seats across the country. That's huge. Additionally, Democrats control just 15 governor's mansions. That's their fewest since 1922. Now, the loss of governors is important in terms of leading individual states and their bureaucracies, but legislatures play an important role in shaping representation of the Congress, too. That's because in 34 states, including Maine, the redrawing of congressional districts is done by legislatures. And that happens every 10 years, and the next redrawing effort is coming up in 2020. And so you can see how the GOP-controlled control of legislatures has affected control of the U.S. House of Representatives over the last 10 years. Republican legislatures have been able to draw favorable congressional districts, and Democrats haven't controlled the chamber since 2011.
And we're talking about this at a time when gerrymandering is in the courts. I mean, this is not a small issue.
That's right. It's really very front and center in terms of the legal battles and certainly now in electoral battles.
Donald Sussman, as we said, once owned the Press Herald, and he was also married to Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. Now he lives in Florida, but is all this evidence that he is once again trying to influence races in Maine?
Well, the new disclosures show that he's definitely trying to influence races here. There's just no question about it. What's not clear is if Sussman has plans to play the role that he did when he was such a dominant force in Maine politics, and that would include directly contributing to the Maine Democratic Party and other progressive groups. And frankly, we just haven't seen evidence of that. That's not to say his donations to national organizations have not found their way into Maine races. For example, in this year's Democratic gubernatorial primary, he gave $2.5 million to the group Emily's List, a donation that arguably helped finance that group's attacks against candidate Adam Cody while boosting Janet Mills, who eventually won. It's also worth noting that his donations to the State Victory Action Group show a Portland address, but a spokesperson for Sussman says he hasn't lived in Maine since leaving the state in 2014, and he's also a registered voter in Florida, according to our review of records there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And if you'd like more information about this group, you can read Steve's full article online at our homepage, mainepublic.org. The Litchfield Farmers Club in Central Maine scrambling to raise the money it needs to open its annual agricultural fair on September 7th after its treasurer was arrested on embezzlement charges today. Richard Brown, the club's first vice president, says 36-year-old Ryan Baudette of West Gardner always presented what seemed to be proper treasurer's reports, but just a few days ago.
The bank finally called, but the 3 years too late. They called after it broke.
Brown says the club accounts appear to have been drained of $120,000-plus over 3 years. The club, he says, needs to find a minimum of $20,000 in the next 2 weeks to open the fair. Meanwhile, according to police in Kennebec County, Baudette has admitted to taking $10,000. He's been charged with Class B embezzlement, which implies an amount greater than $10,000 and carries a potential 10 years in prison if he's convicted. The 3-day National Folk Festival is about to get underway in Bangor. The event kicks off tonight with a New Orleans-style parade featuring tuba skinny, followed by Quebec folk artist, salsa and samba bands, and bluegrass and honky-tonk music. Tens of thousands of people are expected to attend. Bangor was the host of the 64th, 65th, and 66th National Folk Festivals from 2002 to 2004. The American Folk Festival continues through Sunday on the Bangor Riverfront. And a University of Maine at Machias professor has filed a lawsuit against the union that represents him. He says he doesn't agree with the union's political positions and should be freed from his mandatory membership. A.J. Higgins has more.
Reisman's complaint and request for injunctive relief names the Associated Faculties of the University of Maine, an affiliate of the Maine Education Association, and the university and the system's Board of Trustees. In it, Reisman cites a June U.S. Supreme Court ruling, Janus versus the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, in which a divided court concluded that states cannot compel government employees to contribute fees to unions that in turn may donate money to causes or campaigns that the worker does not support. But in Maine, state law dictates that the Associated Faculties Union must represent Reisman regardless of whether he's in the union or not. Robert Ault, president and CEO of the Buckeye Institute, which is funding Reisman's federal lawsuit, says the requirement is inconsistent with the Janus ruling.
Professor Reisman previously was the grievance officer for his union, and after Janus, he went ahead and resigned his membership, which he finally could and not no longer be forced to pay union dues or agency fees after the Supreme Court decision in Janus. But he still had concerns
Ault says Reisman's concerns are justified. Maine law designates the faculty union as his exclusive representative, and Ault says that requirement restricts Reisman from speaking out when he disagrees with positions taken by either the faculty union or its affiliate, the MEA. He points, for example, to the union's opposition to Governor Paul LePage, to its support of an increased minimum wage, and its opposition to school choice and charter schools.
He's forced to associate with certain of their speech. He's forced to be represented by that union in negotiations, and he's forced to adhere to the positions that they end up taking on his behalf, even if he disagrees with those. And we believe that that is a violation of his First Amendment rights.
Reisman is asking Bangor U.S. District Court Judge John Levy to issue a preliminary injunction to prevent the union from representing employees who are not union members. In a prepared statement, James Thelen, general counsel for the University of Maine system, said UMS was served with Reisman's complaint Monday and has not yet determined an appropriate defense. Thelen also said there were no allegations that the university acted unlawfully and that the matter would have to be decided in federal court. Representatives of the union could not be reached for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And for disclosure, the Maine Education Association represents most of Maine Public's reporting staff. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, August 24th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.